Blog Talk Radio.
This is your guy right here. This is your engineer, guys. This is DJ Black Caesar.
I want all of you guys to listen up. This is what you do. If you want to speak, just press 1 on your keypad, and I'll address you, and we'll get you on the phone to ask a question. We're going to get that taken care of right away. And the night's topic is MDT, the lost and found, where's our sisterhood? Hey, Gidget, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. I hear you loud and clear, man. You sound good.
Okay. I don't know if you got Sister Native Angel on the phone. I think I transposed the last two numbers of her phone number, and I texted to you, but it's 74.
Okay. Yeah, I had a problem with that. Hold on for a second. Let's get her on the phone now. You said the last two digits were messed up, and I think I can handle that.
Yes,
we'll
I do. I'm so apologizing. I want to say while you're doing that, good evening, nation building family. Assalamu alaikum to everyone who's listening. We really appreciate you giving us your time to listen to us this evening. And I hope you enjoy as well as participate in tonight's topic, because we are looking forward to hearing from you, especially our sisters out there in the MGT. I think we're going to enjoy Sister Native Angel as she shares her personal story with us and her outlook on the MGT, not versus the lost found, but and the lost found. So, Caesar, did we get her on the phone?
Yes. So, I think we have her right now. Native Angel, are you
yes.
there?
Yes, sir.
How
are
you doing?
Am. I'm doing good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. The show is going to start out right now. Gidget is going to ask some questions, audience, and if you guys got questions, like I said, press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll get you in. And we can start now.
All right. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Native Angel.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Gidget.
And it's such a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show tonight, because you are one of our more reserved sisters. Even though you're very outspoken on post, you're kind of quiet in your personal life. So I'm happy to be able to put a voice with that beautiful face, and I can feel your spirit, which is also equally as beautiful. And we call you Native Angel, but why don't you enlighten us and tell us a little more about yourself, sister?
Greetings, and everyone. My name is Sister Native Angel. My given name is Gwen. I am of the Diné tribe of the Navajo Nation here in New Mexico. I live in the Four Corners area, where all the four states meet: Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona. And I do have two children, a daughter and a son, ages 11 and 7, who are pretty much my entire world. And I'm just very humbled to be here tonight with everyone and to share knowledge and wisdom.
Yes, ma'am. And you're also single, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right, FOI. All right, FOI, here she is. Okay, first of all, we want to talk about the MGT, which is the Muslim women in the Nation of Islam. And, you know, being an MGT all my life, I can kind of understand where some of my sisters are coming from when they say, you know, they go to class, they work hard to qualify themselves to be that MGT that Allah has called us to be. And Sister Native Angel, you know, I want you to share with us what brought you to Islam, what made you accept the teachings, and I also would like for you to share with us the problems that you're facing right now with really interacting with the nation, if you would.
Yes, ma'am. I came to the teachings, it had to be maybe over 8 years ago. I was at the time living in southern Arizona with my daughter, and she was 3 at the time, and I was pregnant with my son, and I was going through a lot of hardship with my ex-husband, and just one day he told me and my daughter that he had no longer wanted us in his home or in any surrounding, and he put us out. And I didn't want to tell family, and it was mostly my pride. I didn't want to hear, I told you so, I told you so. So I took it upon myself to take care of my daughter and myself, but we were homeless, and we were walking and living in the streets of Arizona in the summertime and spring, and I had a lot of problems with my pregnancy with my son, and it was near the end of my pregnancy, and we were sitting at a bus stop like 2 o'clock in the morning, and my daughter was asleep, and I was crying, and I was just sitting there, and I didn't know what to do. And I just knew that I wanted truth. I needed something, and I was thinking, and I was just so sad, and I was depriving myself of something better, a better life. And I just called out. I sincerely asked, with all sincerity, just throwing out names of God and the Creator, whoever you are, I really need you. I need help. I need some guidance. I was so desperate. I didn't know that Allah was Allah. I just knew someone was there, a one source who was responsible, who created everything. And I was pregnant with my son at the time, and my daughter, and we were homeless, walking the streets. And maybe a couple days earlier, I had met a man, and I didn't know who he was, and I just remember this red bow tie, and he had on a suit, and I remember it was 4th Street, and he was talking to me, and he handed me the Holy Quran, and I just, you know, I took it and went about my way. And when I was calling out to Allah, I understood that I had a problem, and I knew that my first step, I recognized this problem, and I needed to fix it. I needed to fix it, like, right away. And it took me months to study and to learn Islam, but from day one, I accepted Islam. When I was told Allah was the only one and Prophet Muhammad was the messenger, it changed me as a person, dramatic changes. And I realized that Allah gave me the strength to live a better life for myself and my children. Every day I wake up and I try to perfect my salah, holding the Quran, referring back to the Quran, always trying to please Allah and educate myself more of the knowledge. And it just helped me be a better person. The person who I am today has come from Islam, and the morals, the values, the character, the gift of everything, and all the knowledge and wisdom that comes with Islam. It was just like feeling of cleansing of the heart and how to live a daily life from morning to life. And it just made me so happy, a beautiful and happy and content. All the pain I was subjective to and how I found all the solutions to my life were given to me by Allah. And my gratitude is to Him, to Allah. And I just feel like this is Allah's creation. I saw my place in this life that gave me this light. Always, Allah is always there. And now I call to Him, and out of happiness what He has in store for me, I am grateful to Him. And I feel like happiness comes from Islam, and my gratitude is to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. Wow, that is an amazing story. That just kind of blew me away, sister, because I could not imagine. But you are evidence that Allah is sufficient for us all, for sure. So,
yes, ma'am.
You know, I want you to speak to, if you would, about your lack of accessibility to participate in the nation from where you are.
Yes, ma'am. The lack of accessibility is very difficult for me, having internet access. books on hand. There, it's very hard to find anything on Islam around where I reside. I always have to refer to the internet, but like I said, it's very hard to get accessibility. I have to travel 30 minutes to an hour to get good service. And I really have to schedule days in between activities and just so I could be able to listen to lectures or kind of catch up on things. I did get references to the Final Call store, and I was able to order books and subscribe to the Final Call newspaper, which has really helped a lot within my family because my children are able to read these books and read the newspaper if they have questions that I can't answer. And it really helps for my son, especially because he doesn't have a father in his life. He has his grandfather and uncles, but we... The three of us are Muslim, however, my family is not, and they are more of traditional followers of the Navajo culture. So we try to balance out between both. We respect our Navajo culture, but we don't participate in, like, ceremonies, but we do actively help out family if they need help with in that area. But it, yes, ma'am, it is very difficult to have access to regarding to the Nation of Islam. And the closest, I believe, mosque is like 8 hours away, which makes it difficult for us to travel back and forth to actually be hands-on.
Yes, ma'am. And you know, I'm so happy that you shared that story with us because that just confirms for me that we need to continue to build and we need to be everywhere that our people are. And, you know, in your case, it's somewhat different from the topic because there are women who have not accepted the teachings. And I know you yourself, you have not been able to process, therefore you have not been able to register, but you have accepted the teaching. And
yes, ma'am.
I want to kind of get into the relationship aspects, which I know is, like I said, it's kind of off base from you, but I wanted you to share your story because I remember you posting something about your inability to, you know, access the mosque and things of that nature. But, you know, when we talk about lost found sisters, and we talk about how we want to build a nation and how we want to gather our people, you know, I have a problem when my sisters in particular, when I call the MGT, and that's including you too, Sister Native Angel, because as long as you accept Islam in your heart and you are striving, as far as I am concerned, you are MGT, so that's inclusive of you. You know, they have a problem when our brothers, the FOI, bring in a sister who is not already in the mosque. And, you know, she comes in and she's trying to process and she's trying to register. And since I do consider you a member of the Nation of Islam, how would you feel about that? How would you feel being in the mosque for a number of years, like you accepted the teachings 8 years ago, and, you know, you're qualifying yourself, you're going to class, you're paying your charity, you're holding your post, and there's FOI in the mosque, and they go get a sister that is not even affiliated with the mosque, but this is the one that they're choosing to marry. How would that make you feel?
Well, first of all, you know, I can't be emotional about it. You know how women are and men are made differently, and I would have to put my emotions aside And, of course, I would have to welcome a sister regardless of who she is. I can't pass judgment on her saying, well, because you're not part of the mosque, I'm going to be like this ill will towards you. And with my own experience coming into a study group, and that was my first reaction. I didn't feel comfortable at all. I felt unwelcome. It was so awkward to be there with a group of women who wouldn't say much to me, and not being able to participate in conversation, it just made me feel unwelcome, and I really didn't want to come back. But you know, the brothers that were there, they were encouraging me, you know, don't let it get to you. It's not. I know I was frustrated, but for me, being if I were in the mosque actively, I would welcome a sister regardless of who she was. It wouldn't be something that I would push her away, because we always welcome reverts, and when they come home to Islam, it's a undeniably good feeling. I cried and cried, and I would know how this person would feel coming into the mosque, and I would always welcome a person regardless. If her brother's bringing her out from inside, or bringing her outside to the inside.
Okay, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, yes, ma'am. Okay, so I want to know, and I appreciate your answer, Sister Angel. I want to know, Caesar, are there any questions out there so far?
No, ma'am.
Okay, all right. Because before I get off into this, I have posed a question about how do we feel when an FOI marries a lost found, and what do we think their reasons for choosing a lost found over an MGT? And I know... if my sisters are listening, they're going to cut my throat, but I have to speak straight words. I have to say what I believe. And, you know, when we talk about building a nation, I remember my minister said that he's always happy to get a new fruit, a new soldier to fall in the ranks. But when he gets a woman, he gets a nation, because she's going to reproduce the future generation of the Nation of Islam. And so it is a blessing to get a sister in the mosque. And I know my sisters say, you know, they tired of FOI passing them by and things of that nature, but I just don't see it that way. I just think that there is a natural attraction that occurs between a man and a woman. And I know the Quran says that we're not supposed to marry disbelievers, but, you know, I don't think that it's necessarily a disbeliever, because whatever quality of Islam or whatever degree of Islam that we have within us, evidently that person that we have asked to join with us respects and believes in what we believe to some degree, because we all, even in the Nation of Islam, don't believe to the same degree. So, you know, Islam is a learning process. It's a stair-step process. You know, you gain your faith by experience, through prayer, through fasting, and through all the things that we do to try to be one with Allah. So I just have a problem with, you know, the rejection that some of the sisters are facing. And, you know, I have never been able to grasp the understanding as to why there appears to be some jealousy and envy there. But I want to tell my sisters that, you know, I just believe that if we would look at a lost found sister, as we call them lost found, but we are all lost found, if we would look at them as a potential sister and friend and not so much as a threat, it would be better. And I just want to know, are you in agreement with that, Sister Angel? Can you hear me?
Sister Gibbons?
Are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. Yes.
Did you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Oh, okay.
I do agree on the statement that you just said, and I just wanted to share something, a story that, you know, my parents and my grandparents had shared with me, and it's in regards to being a woman and how we view her in the Navajo culture. And so before I go into this, we as Navajos always greet each other in a sacred form, and I just wanted to go about that before I go into the story. So, Yat'e Anoto Shikis Gato Gutao Ege Nehidishnis Ado She'e Gwen Yenishya Ado Ne'e Nishlinigi Halagani Nishle Kia Ani Bashishin Nakaide Ne'e Dashiche It's Atni Dasinella, Ado, Na Yiza Dant, Ah Yisin Nasha, Akut Ego Dine Astana Nishle. And what I just said is an introduction of who I am as a Navajo woman. I had greeted all you, every one of you. I said my name is Gwen, and I had told you a small portion of who I am. We have four clans that distinguish who we are. And it tells my history of my ancestors. And so with that being said, I just want to go into this. Me being a Navajo woman is really about the representation of me being a woman, a caretaker, a provider, and a teacher. It is said that when what is in comparison to what the whole world, mainstream society sees as God, we have our own. Her name is Changing Woman. Asana Glehe Yozgai Asa, White Shell Woman. And it was said that she was brought into creation because there was once a time when there was a hardship amongst the people, the Navajo people here in Dineta, which is known as the Navajo Reservation. And there were people being devoured in these gods, first man and first woman. They came together and said, how is it we're going to save our people? How is it that we're going to help and promote continuization into the future? So they prayed and they sang and they had such great faith. And one day at one of our sacred mountains, there was a big storm and it just got bigger and bigger and the sky was engulfed in clouds. And when it was engulfed in clouds, first man and deity, talking God, together they climbed this mountain. And when they got up there, they found a beautiful young woman. And just the way a cradle board is made, there was a beautiful rainbow around her head. There was lightning across her body to protect her. Father Sky and Mother Earth were below her, and the clouds were at her feet. And that's why today we have the cradle board. And she grew up in 4 days, and she grew to a young woman. She had her first puberty ceremony, and that's what represents to the Navajo people as the first mother to the Navajo people, a savior. She gave birth to two twins, and eventually throughout our history, they come to save the world from hunger and thirst and illness, laziness, old age. And as a woman, it's my responsibility to fight these monsters to get them away from my people. Although they can never disappear, you know, it always falls back on me as a woman and my responsibility to everyone. And that's what you were saying, when you bring a woman, you help a nation. And that's where my point was being made, what you had said earlier.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. And that's also a beautiful story. I am loving your culture. I am loving your culture. I mean, wow. That is a beautiful story, Sister Native. And Caesar, if we don't have any questions, let us get to a song and let us come back, and hopefully we'll have some questions out there. DJ Caesar, are you there? DJ Caesar? Sister Native Angel?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Okay, I don't know what happened to my DJ, DJ Caesar. Okay, well, maybe he stepped away for a moment. Who knows? Okay, let me just go ahead to the next section right quick until he gets back, I guess. Okay, so let me see. Do you believe that love supersedes all things? Because to me, in my opinion, I think that if the FOI decide to marry a woman, any woman, that it's my prayer that it's for love. And I don't think that we should get married because we're all in the ranks with one another. I mean, I know that it may be best, but if you don't love someone, I mean, I don't think you should get married because someone's an FOI or MGT. How do you feel about that?
I'm sorry, ma'am. Can you repeat? I missed half of your question.
Sister Native, can you hear me?
Yes, I missed half of your question.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I was saying that I believe that love supersedes all things. And it's my prayer that a man would marry a woman because he loves her and not because she's in the right. And I'm kind of baffled by why the sisters get upset, because if a man chooses you to be his wife, it's my prayer that he chooses you out of love and not just because you're an MGT and because you're in the ranks. And I just want to know, how did you feel about that?
I feel like when you do your part to Allah by praying and being respectful toward him and fulfilling your duties, that he would bring the spirit toward you. That's my belief. I was once married. I just went off of what you had said, being, I guess, in the ranks, and it wasn't true love for me. Not until maybe years later, and I had prayed on it, and I had met my son's father, and I felt like it was the right thing, because you just know when you feel your spirit near you that this is a person for you.
Ma'am?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I get emotional about my son's father, and he wasn't with me and my children maybe but a year before he had passed.
Well, may Allah be pleased with him, sister. I hate to hear that.
Yes. But
Take your time. It's okay.
But that's how I feel that how two spirits come together in love when you do your part and fulfill your obligation, your duties to Allah by praying and fasting and just falling in love with him. And I have more and more every day, the more teachings I bring myself into, and I see how things have changed so much. And I would hear people say these things, but I never believed it. I never thought too much of it. And I decided to do it for myself. And the more I put into my studies, the more I prayed, I started feeling love, like true love. And it's just an amazing feeling. And I feel like, for me, I speak for me, that's the only way possible is to find a mate, is to do your duties to Allah, and that's how I feel.
Yes, ma'am, and I share your sentiment, sister. Trust me, as you already know, I'm recently engaged to Brother Richard, and it has been a whirlwind, but when Allah sends one that is for you, you know that. So
yes,
I know exactly how you feel, and I share your sentiments on that most definitely. DJ Black Seas, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we lost you for a minute, okay?
Yeah,
do we have any questions?
No, we don't.
Okay,
you guys
all right.
Are so good. Huh?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said you guys are doing great.
Okay, well, can you give us a song so we can come back?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
Here we are, the last song, and I pray that after the music stops that the focus will be on you, Lord. People will see you for who you are and worship you with their lives. Cam, share your heart with us.
El Shaddai, God, you're almighty. God, you're almighty. And Father, I worship you. El Shaddai, God, you're almighty. God, you're almighty. And Father, I worship you. My banner, Lord, you're my banner, and Father, I worship you, Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you're my banner, Lord, you're my banner. Father, I worship you. I worship you. Father, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you. I worship you. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you're my provider, and Father, I worship you, Jehovah Jireh, Lord, you're my provider, Lord, you're my provider. And Father, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you. Father, I worship you. Oh, God of peace, and Father, I worship you. I worship you.
Okay, guys, you take it away now. Come on for a minute, Sister Gidget. Let me get this line clear. 843 has a question for you. 843, go ahead and ask your question, please.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
How are you, Sister Gidget?
I am fine, Sister Marilyn Muhammad.
Yes,
ma'am. Nation Building. How are you, Queen?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Native Angel. How are you?
Well, alaikum salam, Sister Marilyn. I'm great. I'm doing great.
Yes, ma'am.
She is doing great.
Ma'am?
I say she is doing great.
She is. That's another reason. I mean, you know, I wanted to call and let the audience know that, you know, when I first had heard, the story that Sister Native had told me, you know, I cried because I felt her pain. And as a woman, you know, we all go through changes in our life. But as we understand each other and we understand the greatness in each other, we would be able to embrace each other, you know, in lost sound, believe or what, we still are sisters. So Sister Native Angel, she's my sister, you know, and I love her. And those who don't know her, she's a beautiful sister with a beautiful spirit. And just, you know, listen, when she was, you know, talking about her culture and going into the depth of it, we can all learn from, you know, we can learn from each other, you know, by, you know, talking with one another, getting to know one another, and that's what sisterhood is all about. And I think that a lot of us don't really understand what is true sisterhood. See, we can talk that, but do we really understand how to love one another? Do we understand how to embrace each other in a time of need? Do we understand, you know, what I want for myself, I want for, you know, my sister? We talk that, but we don't show that. And I think that if we really take the time to really study and understand what sisterhood is all about, you know, we can grow as one. The nation can move forward and can grow because that we all, I mean, we have each other. That's all what we have. And so we have to, you know, kind of, you know, I think if we get out that type of mindset and really, when we have sisters that come inside the mosque, we should embrace them because, you know, we just didn't fall out the sky and came into the Nation of Islam and accept Islam. You know, Sister Native had a beautiful story which she shared, and I believe a lot of us have, you know, we can bear witness to what Sister Native has shared with us because we all have a story, but within our story it's a lesson. And it's a lesson that's going to uplift us, and it's a lesson that's going to make us stronger as a whole. And that's all I wanted to say. I love you, Sister Gidget. I love you, Sister Native Angel. Sister Native Angel.
Sister Marilyn, I want to ask you a question because I remember a conversation we had just briefly. I want to know how you feel about the FOI marrying what we call a lost sound.
Well, the last time when I was on the show, and basically, you know, hearing a lot of conversation and a lot of sisters, they feel, you know, as being qualified, and, you know, they, with their lesson and what they've been taught, FOI coming in, you know, marrying a lost sound, sister. I guess when you went into as far as with love and, you know, when you love somebody, you know, you're going to have to accept them for who they are. Not if the sister is willing to accept the teachings, you know, she's my sister automatically. Even her being a, not, a, you know, if she's an unbeliever, she still is my sister. So, you know, I mean, you don't have no control over really who somebody fall in love with.
Exactly.
You know, so, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, Sister Marilyn.
Yes, ma'am.
And enjoy your evening, Queen.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. All right, Brother DJ Caesar, we have any more questions out there?
No, ma'am.
Okay. All right. So, Sister Native Angel.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, as the sisterhood, you know, I want to know, you know, what can we do, in your opinion, what is it that we can do better? Because, I mean, I know that you're out there in the four corners, and I want to know, are there other believers out there that also are having the same problems you're having as far as not being able to access the nation?
There are other believers. However, they're of different orthodox. There are a few about 2 hours away in Albuquerque that do follow the Nation of Islam, but being that I can't commute back and forth, it makes it even harder for me. So I try my best to my ability to use what I have here and to access what I can, and I do openly talk about it with family and friends, and my little brother is somewhat interested the more I talk about it, and he watched the webcast with me this morning and
mm-hmm.
Was very floored by the teachings, and he's ready to make a change in his life, and I said it's nothing to be scared of, nothing to be feared of. It's who we are as Navajo people. We have the same teachings, which when I started reading into the teachings, I was very shocked, and I was going back into our stories of our history of our people, and I'm just like, wow, this is home. This is where I belong, and this is, you know, this is who I am as a person. And so once I started reading into these teachings and I started sharing with people, and the perception they have is what the media portrays. And, you know, that's totally what we are not of. So it's...
Hold on for a second, Sister Native. Let me call her back. I think her phone is dropped.
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here. I think her phone dropped too. It just dropped. Hold on 1 second. Let me get her back on the phone because I was trying to get you back on the phone. Are you all right now? Gidget. Sister Gidget.
Hello?
Yes. Sister Native?
Yes. Yes, sir.
I'm trying to get Sister Gidget situated. Gidget, move around a little bit with your phone because you're cracking up a lot.
Okay, can you hear me?
Not really. Can you move, maybe move to another room? See if that'll help.
Yeah. Hold on.
Hey, look, why not just call you back? Because your phone sounds good. Just let me call you back.
Okay.
All right, can everyone hear me now?
Yeah, you sound better. There you go.
Okay, yeah, we're about to have a big storm here, so I apologize for the technical difficulties, but, yeah, it's about to pour down. Okay, Sister Native Angel, I'm sorry about that. I know you were telling me that your brother was listening to the teachings this morning, and I think that's where I lost you. So let me ask, are there any questions out there?
No.
Okay. All right. So listen, let me get my phone situated. Caesar, play up another song, please, and we'll come back and finish up.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. G Swizz, Sauk in Central New York. Da Vinci, where you at?
Oh,
yo, shorty.
Yo, shorty.
I'm coming right back. When I leave, you know I'm coming right back. Do what you do, you know how I like that. When I leave, it's never forever. Before it's all said and done, you better get it together. So when I come back, I hope things get better. Just think back on the times that we treasure. Making love in a tub, all pleasure. The love that I got for you, they couldn't measure. Even if I leave, don't mean that I'm leaving. If I don't make it home, don't mean that I'm cheating. Out on the road doing shows for the weekend. No reason to act like that. So when I leave, I'll be right back.
Right back.
Forget about the lies and rumors. Just to see you wish it could be sooner. Me plus you just equals a little junior.
I'll be right back, baby.
Right back.
Said I'll be right back, baby.
Right back.
I promise you I'll never leave. As long as you have me. Said I'll be right back, baby.
Right back.
Then I'll be right back, baby.
Right back.
I swear that no matter where I go, I'll be coming right back to you.
When I make it home, you know it's all love, girl. So you know it ain't no reason to bug, girl. Stop tripping. Stop flipping. Whenever we together, my heart starts skipping. Whenever I'm gone, you the one that I'm missing. I got you on my mind all of the time. You know the haters gon' hate and the lies gon' lie. Think about it. They don't wanna see you by my side. Never meant to hurt you. Don't wanna see you cry. Last thing I wanna see is some tears in your eyes. I'll be right back. I know you hear it all the time. If I ain't with you, then I'm out on the grind. Told you. It ain't even like that. Just know when I leave, I'm coming right back. Told you, it ain't even like that. Just know when I leave, I'm coming right
said
back.
I'll be right back, baby.
Right back.
Said I'll be right back, baby.
Right back.
I promise you I'll never leave.
baby.
Like that.
Then I'll be right back, baby.
Like that.
I swear that no matter where I go, I'll be coming right back to you. No matter where I go, you'll always be on my mind. Jesus said it best, I'm just on my grind. You know I'll be there for you when you're down and don't know what to do. Just go ahead and take my hand, I'll pull you up and help you stand. It don't matter what them haters say, just remember that I'm here to stay. Ain't no one tear me away from you. Don't care what they try to do, they're just jealous of what we got. So we'll look at this and laugh, 'cause just like I told you, I came round.
I said I'll be back. Right back, baby.
Like that. I said I'll be right back, baby.
Like that.
I promise you I'll never leave, as long as you have me. I said I'll be right back, baby.
Like that.
Said I'll be right back, baby.
Like that.
I swear that no matter where I go, I'll be coming right back.
I said I'll be right back, baby.
Like that. Said I'll be right back, baby.
I'm here.
Okay, I want to make sure you can hear me. All right, so Sister Native Angel, you are a single sister.
Yes, ma'am, I am.
And you're looking for marriage?
Not looking. I would say I'm open to it.
Okay.
I don't want to say I'm looking because I don't want to it to be just like a I don't know. I will know when I see him.
Wow.
And but I'm not saying I don't want to get married, but I'm just saying that I know when I will see him that will be the person that Allah has for me.
Wow. And how is that so? How do you recognize? I mean, you know, enlighten me. How would you recognize, like, when you see a person? How you know that's the one?
For me, I would feel a connection. In any way or form, with my son's father, it was his voice, the sound of his voice. It connected me. We connected together, and everything just fell into place. And
wow.
I
okay.
knew that he was the person that Allah had sent for me. I you just feel it. I just, you know, you just know.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, I know. Yes, ma'am. Okay, and the reason why I really went into the question, because, you know, we studied the restrictive laws and things of that nature, and I just wondered, did you ever feel let me ask first, do the brothers pursue you at all?
Yes, they do, but not accordingly, because thinking that I don't know the teachings, I kind of feel like I'm tested
okay.
until I start speaking, and they're like, okay, she knows she knows the teachings, so and sometimes I do have to put them in place.
Wow, okay. Well, that was not a subject I wanted to talk on, but okay. I mean, hey, we real people. We have to keep it real. We have to be honest. And you know, and I think you know, I'm going to say this, and I hope my brothers know that I say this with love, but they know that Sister Gita is going to tell the truth. And I've heard this, not from brothers in particularly, but I've heard this from sisters when they say that they pursue who they think, in your case, is a lost found sister, or who is a lost found sister, for the sake of them being able to kind of get away with things that they couldn't get away with an MGT. And, you know, that's not a good thing to hear, but, you know, we have to do better, brothers. You know, y'all have to do better for those of you that may be pursuing a lost found for that purpose, because Allah knows everything. And so if you want to be blessed in your relationship, in your marriages, you know, I encourage you to do it the right way. It's really worth
yes,
it. It's worth that obedience to Allah to receive your blessing. And so I know not being registered and things of that nature kind of bothers you, Sister Angel. So do you think that maybe brothers don't pursue you righteously because you're not registered?
Yes, I am. I truly believe so, because I've been told that they prefer an MGT over a lost found sister, which it bothered me, but I know deep down, you know, who I am as a person. So
yeah.
I didn't let it get to me as I did the first time that I heard it. So sometimes brothers, they would tell me, they would judge me by that until I start,
uh-huh.
you know, having and more in-depth conversation, and they would have a better understanding of who I am as a person, and then they would apologize for what they had said, because they feel like I don't know, like, the teachings and so forth.
Right, and I understand what you're saying, and, you know, we're in a time now. Well, we're living in redirection and correction. And, you know, we have to be open, and we have to be honest with one another, and honest with the things that are going on in the Nation of Islam. And we're not necessarily talking family business, so to speak, putting anybody on blast or anything like that, because I know sisters who pursue lost found because they feel like it's in some degree they don't have to adhere to the restrictive laws, and it works both ways. And you know, I think that is our downfall in the nation in itself, not adhering to the restrictive laws, not just really being obedient and knowing and doing what we know what we're supposed to do. And I think that's a great impact on why we are not getting married at the rate that we should be at this point in time. And, you know, I just want to say to the brothers and to the sisters, you know, don't miss out on your blessing, you know, trying to feed the flesh, because the spirit will survive beyond the flesh. And, you know, you really want Allah's blessing. And even though you may think it's hard, practice makes perfect. If you practice every day, it will get easier, and you will be blessed. And trust me, I know it was a long journey for me being by myself. But, you know, Allah is sufficient for us all, and I can also bear witness to that. Okay, so Sister Native Angel, I wanted to ask you, what can we do to make people in your condition, and when I say condition, I mean who don't have access to the mosque and who don't have access to believers, what can we do to make you feel more comfortable and more welcome within the sisterhood? Because we all are sisters, and we have to look at our sisters in that way and not look at them as a potential threat to us upon, you know, meeting with them. So what can we do better to embrace you and make you feel more welcome?
I think there's communication, a lot of communication. As for me, that it may be sound contradictive because, you know, I've told you that, you know, how shy as a person I am. But I think just having communication, talking openly, being welcome and not putting emotions into it, you know, put all that aside and just, you know, say, what is there that I can do for you to help you, you know, be successful. And I've had a couple sisters that have been so tremendous help to me, you know, because I don't have access to what's going on outside of the reservation. And it helps me and it keeps me connected. Sometimes I don't know if, like, a certain brother's going to be speaking or, you know, a lecture that I don't know of, something. And I feel connected. It keeps me closer to the outside world from and not feeling more distant, if that makes sense.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. Well, let me check the phone line. See if there's anybody on the phone. I really wish some of our brothers would call in and speak to us about this issue and how they bore witness to maybe their wives who may not be registered Muslims, or if they brought their wives into the mosque and what was her experience, or our sisters will call in and just give us an opinion and share it with us. So, DJ Caesar, is there anyone on the line?
We have two questions. 646, go ahead and your phone line is open. You can ask your question now, please.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, I have a question for Sister Native Angel. I know you said earlier that during your trial and you found the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I just was wondering, in your Indian culture, by you understanding the teachings as you have, did it help you to go into depth into your culture, and how did that enhance your understanding even further, if you will?
Yes, sir. When I, you know, just growing up through the Navajo teachings and culture and all the knowledge that was passed from my grandparents and my grandmother, I wasn't raised by my birth parents. I came from a family of seven, and being the last child, my birth parents couldn't provide for me, and it was such a long distance. So I was given to my grandmother, and I was raised by her and my great-grandmother. So growing up, I got to learn the language and the culture of who we are and where we come from. And my mother had always told us that as long as you have your language, you will not be lost. And reading into these stories of the creation story and first man, first woman, talking God, changing woman, and that's who I identify myself with. And then when I came into the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it was like everything connected. It brought a deeper knowledge, deeper thoughts of everything. It enlightened who I am as a person, and it brought it all together as a whole being and not just a half. And being that I was raised by my grandmother, I didn't have that connection with my mother. So since I was 6 weeks old, I always felt lost. I didn't have a belonging of a placement of where I should be within the Navajo people or just somewhere. I always felt lost. And until I found the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I knew this is where I belong. I knew this is where home was. And everything came together. And it brought a deeper sense of reading into the Bible and the Holy Quran and learning from the lectures and reading into everything. It brought a greater sense to me because at a young age, you know, we would have these missionaries come in and we would go to like Bible vacation week or whatever they would have. And I had no understanding because they would be standing on the pulpit and teaching and I had still no clue what they were referring to. It just didn't make sense. And I felt like it was hypocritical because they would not carry these teachings outside of the church. And I couldn't understand why they were doing these things. And once I started reading more into the teachings, it all came together as a whole being. And I knew that this is where my place was, that I had finally come home.
Thank you, my dear sister, for answering my question, and you are indeed home.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, we got 732. Go ahead and ask your question now, please.
Actually, I don't have a question, Caesar. This is Michelle Mupo, and I just wanted to be the first to say, this is the first time I tuned into this show. And it's actually very interesting because I was, I'm born and raised Christian. So, I respect everything, you know, basically what your show's about. And to me, that if you find your own relationship with the man, that's all that matters. And I understand that the young lady on the phone actually, was saying she was raised by her grandmother. I have to say, you know, God bless, because the way that people, you know, are brought up in today's society is both the men and the women, the mother and the father, have to work, which basically leaves the kids alone to go do, I guess you would say, violent things and malicious things, and that's why there's a lot of gangs in the world today. So I have to say, God bless you, sister, because you were raised by your grandmother, and I'm sure she was very strict. And the reason why I was calling in, Caesar, was just to let you know that Keep the Peace is moving forward. We have Reverend Fred Jerkins of Dark Child Entertainment is our management, and he is going to see that. You know, we're trying to raise money for a few things. One of them is for Keep the Peace. Another one is for Kenya Sister, which is a TV show. And the Keep the Peace, we're going to raise money for the troops coming home disabled, because there's men and women fighting for us today so that we could be free and actually walk the streets without getting bombed or anything. And it's because of these men and women today, and they come home disabled. I really plan, I see within a year's time there's going to be a change. We're going to start revamping their homes, making it handicap accessible. And we're going to show them and give thanks to them because they're fighting for us.
Right. Well, we thank you, Michelle, for coming on the show tonight, letting us know that. And I'm sure, Sister Angel and Sister Gidget, that's no problem with them. So we enjoyed it. Thank you, and much love to you.
Caesar, let's get her website or her contact information so those of us who may be interested in participating can get in contact with you, Michelle.
Sure, it's Muda Multimedia Entertainment is the company, and it's M like in Mary, U as in ugly, D as in dog, A as in apple, multimediaentertainment.com. And the email that you could reach us at is muda@mudamultimediaentertainment.com. I do have to say, the young lady that was talking about living with her grandmother, I actually take care of my grandmother right now. She's 96 years old. And a few years ago, I guess it was a few years ago, she was robbed for the third time, and they knocked on the front door and came through the back door, and she had a got hit, and she has a blood clot in her brain from it, and she's not the same. And I thank every day, I thank God every day that she's alive. So I just have to say respect to the mothers and fathers and all the grandmothers and grandfathers, because I know I was raised right to do a good deed every day. And when you do a good deed every day, if everybody did that, it would become a domino effect and the world would be a better place.
And I absolutely agree with that. Yes, ma'am.
It just bothers me because I know people kind of knock a lot of Muslims and right away they think that they're bad. There's good in everybody. You just have to get it out of them. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter, you know, what nationality, what color, what race. Everybody has good. You just have to find a way to get it out and change the world.
Yes, ma'am. I agree. And we really appreciate you calling in, Sister Michelle. I'm thankful that you shared with us.
Well,
thank you so much.
No, you're welcome. And as I say, what are you supposed to say? Assalamu alaikum?
Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum salam to you, ma'am.
Sister Michelle, can you send me over your information to my Facebook page? And what I'll do is I'll put it in Nation Billing, and so they all have the information you're talking about.
Oh, my God. That would be awesome. That really would.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ma'am, that's how we build a nation.
Well, that's what it's about. And let me tell you something. With us in the nation, we are surrounded. No one's going to break that wall.
Yes, ma'am.
The main thing is never doubt. Never doubt and always believe.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Cesar, I'm going to come on your other show on when, the 11th?
Yeah, that's on the 11th. Wednesday will be our next show because the 4th is on the 4th of July. Is this Wednesday, so we're not going to be on. We're going to be back on the 11th. So you're invited to come to that show. Put your information out there again.
That would be great. I'm singing the national anthem at 1:00.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's good. I'm proud of it.
Yeah. Well, it's not definite yet, but it's one of the Blue Claws. So it looks like I'm going to do it. I'm just waiting to hear back.
Now, you said Dark Child is working with you guys now. He's management for you guys?
Fred Jerkins Jr., which is the father, he's the one who actually... He's the reason for, I guess, so much talent, with Rodney and with Fred. My partner is Dawn Marie, former WWE diva, and we're both blessed that he's actually managing us right now. So it's just, things happen for a reason. And I have to say that, there's this guy, Eddie, that basically... did the hookup, and as soon as we start rolling, that boy will be taken care of, because I cannot thank him enough. I'm definitely going to give him a job.
Michelle, thank you
okay,
for coming.
Okay, well, Sister Michelle, make sure you share your information with us so we can kind of follow you and see what you're doing, because it looks like you're doing a whole lot of things.
We are.
Make sure you get the information to Cesar so he can post it for us.
I'm doing a message to you right now, honey. And thank you for letting me come on the show. God bless. And I'll talk to you guys soon.
Yes,
God
ma'am.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yes.
Thank you.
May I ask Sister Native Angel another question, please?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Sister Native Angel, you said that when you heard your husband's voice that you knew that it was him. I just had a similar experience. This is Brother Richard, and I just asked Sister Gidget to marry me, and she said yes, praise be to Allah. And I just experienced that. And what was it about his voice that made you know that he was the one? If you can just elaborate.
The reason why I knew it was him was because I had prayed, like, every day before I had met him, like, months and months before. And within that time before I met him, I would have dreams, and I would always write these things down. And it was kind of like a puzzle that I needed to put together myself. And what I had known from my last dream before I met my husband was that God had told me that he was going to place something in my hand, and that he would speak and I would know it was him. I had met him in the summertime, and it was raining outside, and he saw me with my daughter, and he picked my daughter up, and then he held my hand. And then what he had in his hand was a silver frame, and that's what I had saw in my dream, was a silver frame. And the connection of him looking into my eyes for that brief second, and he spoke, and I already knew that was him that Allah had sent my way.
Wow. That sounds so familiar. It sounds so familiar. So, you know, I just want to say that's confirmation for me enough that Allah does work his not his magic, but he works in the way that he chooses, and he blesses whom he chooses, and those things that he does, they cannot be undone unless we undo them. So if for all of you
yes.
who may question, does Allah put marriages and relationships together, let Richard and I and Sister Native and her her late spouse be evidence to you that through prayer and obedience, Allah does blesses, and he blesses directly. You know, he don't leave you wondering and guessing and going through long, you know, turmoil and courtships and things like that. You just know when you know. So all praise is due to Allah. That's a beautiful story,
yes,
Sister Native.
Yes, ma'am. And also, and that's the biggest, I think, another reason why I don't speak as much, because it's very sacred because of that specific reason. I don't carry on conversations with many people unless I really absolutely need to, because I feel like it's Allah's way of saying to me that you're not for everybody, you're just for one person.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm trusting and believing in Allah, sister, that there's yet another out there for you, because you are quite a young woman, and you are the mother of a son as well as a daughter. And, you know, the sons need a father. All the sons
yes.
need a father. All the daughters need a father. So it's my prayer for you, beloved, that Allah will once again bless you and just, you know, make you happy and make your family whole again. All praises to Allah. I just love that story. Whew. Okay, I'm not going to get emotional. All right. Okay, so Caesar, is there anyone else on the line?
There are a lot of people on the line, but nobody else has a question.
All right, anybody has a question? No one? Okay. Well, Sister Native Angel, we have a few more minutes, so we're going to wrap this up.
Okay.
Let me ask you, when it comes to sisterhood, have you found, because we all know who the original man and woman is, and I know upon your studies of on your studies of the Nation of Islam, you know, the writings are referring to the black man, and we know the origin of all of that and how all the other so-called races come into play. But how about prejudice? Have you ever found prejudice amongst the sisterhood?
No, I have not.
Mm-hmm.
No, I absolutely have not come across that.
Okay. Okay, well, that's a blessing. That's good to know. And tell us, because, you know, a lot of us, we don't have that experience, and we don't have a lot of relationships with Native Americans, and I hate to call you that. You're not a Native American. You're part of the indigenous and the original family. What is it like? I mean, in your culture and amongst the people, the Navajo people there, what is it like to be on a reservation?
It's different. It's peaceful. It's very beautiful. I always feel content when I go back to the reservation. But I also, when I go home, I see that my people still need a lot of work. They need a lot of help. I still have family that live on the reservation without electricity and water. So that it makes it life very difficult. I used to live on the reservation a couple of years ago, and I had to commute 2 hours just for employment. And it made it hard because I had no electricity and no water, and I had children that I had to tend to, and we would have to haul water. We would have to go get water like 2-3 miles away from the home and bring it back. It's different lifestyle from what you see on TV or what people experience being there, but when you actually live there on a day-to-day basis, you see everything.
Yes, ma'am. So is that by choice, or, I mean, what's going on with the lack of basic utilities? Is that by choice? Is that part of the culture, or what is it?
It's not by choice. It's how, because certain parts of the reservation, there is just no possible way of putting up utility poles or putting in underground pipes to get to these homes. It's just there's no way of getting there because of the mountains or canyons. It's just no way of getting these things out there. It's been a long process where my great-grandmother lives, and we've lived there for a long time, and there's still no water, no electricity, and people have to use their generators just to get by. And the tribe has tried so hard to get these necessities for people, but it's just this the land of actually getting things done is taking a long, long process.
Okay. And so I know that they give, low income or low cost housing or free housing to the Native Americans, so to speak. So is it that particular area is sacred to the Navajo people, and that's why they're not leaving that particular reservation? Are they trying to enhance that area and try to keep it as pure as possible, since we know that the rest of the earth has been virtually destroyed by pollution and other things like that? So is it a sacred area for the tribe?
What is sacred to the tribe is within the four sacred mountains. We have four, which is the San Francisco Peak, which is, I believe, in Arizona. The other three, I can't remember, but there's four sacred mountains, and traditional Navajos believe that it's a taboo to travel outside of these four sacred mountains because you're leaving your people and your language, and you're basically, it's kind of like you're lost outside of the four sacred mountains.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, that's the end of our, well, is it the end of our show, Caesar? No?
No, ma'am. We still have
okay, I'm sorry, am I off time?
We still have 30 minutes left.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong schedule. Okay, so.
Yeah,
okay, and so I just wanted to also say that the stereotypes of indigenous people, nothing's free. We don't get anything for free. We don't get stipend
really?
Or. No, we don't. As an, we are the largest tribe in the nation. We have 300,000 members. And if you were to split that money between 300,000 members, we would get like 10 cents, 20
wow.
cents. We do have, in different parts of the reservation, we do have hospital clinics that we can utilize. But the use of these facilities is very hard. It's time consuming. If you want to go to get an appointment, they set it 3-4 months away from when you need it. They send you far distant places, and people just don't have the transportation to get to these places because there's no public transportation. It's just too far. If I want to be seen by the doctor, I have to travel an hour destination. We do have casinos, but as now, we don't benefit as a tribe from it. And I'm not clear or sure what the government has done, the tribal government. I don't know if they put parts of the land up for loans so that they can build these casinos, but I'm not for certain. It's just kind of frustrating because to me as a Navajo, want to see us strive and grow as a nation. I see us just falling backwards. And I feel that's why the minister has been, you know, making these trips out here, and he sits with the council people and he discusses, you know, business and plans that he wants to see us grow. And I'm very grateful to him that he does come out here because I think we need to see beyond the four sacred mountains.
Yes, ma'am. So are there any FOI that come from the Navajo tribe that you know of? And how open are they to Islam?
The tribe, how open are they?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not for certain. It's very hard because you have traditional Navajos, and we have called the Eastern Agency, which is like in New Mexico. And we have different regions. The reservation is divided into different agencies. And it depends on where you grew up and what part of the reservation you came from, because we all have the same teachings, but they're taught differently. Just like maybe the eastern part of the reservation, they speak faster dialect of the Navajo language versus the western speak slower, and you can articulate. And we have different religious background of Christianity and Mormon and just different aspects of it. And me speaking openly to it about it with friends and family, they have no idea that it exists because there's no electricity where they can see it and know about it and learn about it unless you speak of it. And so when I go home, these are the books that I carry with me, and it starts a conversation. And that's how I bring these teachings to the people when I go home.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. And I know we kind of strayed off our topic because we were talking about sisterhood, but I'm sorry. By your culture and just by having you communicate and share with us. And, you know, I just think, I'm just going to put it out there that I think that we know what the indigenous people being in America, and I just think it, together for that effort to make our people, your people, and particularly, you know, we can come together and make.
Yes.
Sister Gidget. Sister Gidget. Her phone just dropped. Hold on for a second.
Sister Native Angel, I'd like to ask you another question while we wait, Sister.
All right, I don't know what's going on, but okay, here we go. Okay.
Are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay.
No, Sister Gidget, you back?
Yes, sir. I'm here. But I know it's getting ready to rain, and no, it's already raining. So if I blank out again, Brother Richard, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, I know you got my back.
No doubt. I just want to ask Sister Native Angel another question, because I noticed she said there's no electricity by which to generate the teachings to the people on the reservations, and she takes books back to where she at. But is there any way when you go to the study group that you can speak to the believers there and possibly they can assist you with generating the teachings on this reservation that we may connect as a people?
I believe so. The last time when I went to Albuquerque, they had leftover old copies of the Final Call newspaper, and they gave me a lot of that. A few brothers had extra books, and they gave me that. And so when I went home, I kind of, you know, left it out in the open, and people did, you know, grab them to read. And I do run into them from time to time, and they ask, you know, questions. And I think that's another part, is that we don't have the resource for people to answer our questions. And that makes it even harder for me as well. And I always write down my questions, and when I do get a chance to get online, and I'll ask other believers so that I can get a better understanding of what I'm studying.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I'm challenging the FOI in particularly, but I'm challenging all of us to embrace our people who are living on reservations and respect that culture. But we all are family here, and we are supposed to be a help to one another and help in enhance and improve our lives on this earth as we dwell here together. So I'm putting the challenge out there, Sister Native Angel. I will be talking to you again in conversation in detail about what we can do as a nation to help in that area and make sure that those who desire to learn of Islam, to make sure we can get materials and books and see if we can even help improve the living situation in that area, because I know there are a lot of people in the nation that can make that situation better. And so we just have to be about the business of our Father and do what we need to do to help one another. And I like I said, I know we strayed from the topic, but Sister Native Angel is so intriguing and she's so informative because I'm learning so much that I never even knew before. So let me check back with DJ Caesar. Any questions?
Yeah, actually, we do have a question, but I don't know the phone number. I don't know who it is. Go ahead, call it with your question. Your phone is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Michelle.
Walaikum
salam.
Hey,
yes. On the topic, I wanted to say that I embrace all my sisters, whether they're lost, found, you know, whether they're Native Americans, you know, our Spanish brothers and sisters, you know, my black sister, whatever. I embrace them all because they're all part of this one big, you know, sisterhood, as we are taught in the nation who the original people are. But now when it comes to marriage, for me, it gets a little tricky, you know, when it comes to brothers or sisters marrying lost found, because as we were, sisters and I were discussing yesterday, I brought up the fact that since the teachings is kind of like threefold, it's like a threefold process. You believe, you know, you start there, and then you study on that which you believe, and then belief is nothing unless put into practice. So when we get to the practice part, if we have brothers or sisters married to lost found and they don't even believe the same way, what type of marriage is that going to make? And also, because I heard something earlier on the program that kind of stuck with me, when we talk about nation and nation building, I tend to think that when we talk about that, we're talking about a particular nation, not the nation of America, you know, so much, even though we live in America, but the nation is bigger than that. It embraces Africa, you know, and all the countries where the original people, you know, inhabit. So,
yes,
you know.
Ma'am. Well, first, let me be clear that we're not speaking of a nation of America. We are speaking of a nation of Islam, and
okay.
The nation of Islam is inclusive of all of those races that are included. And I'm not going to subscribe to baby language, so I'm just going to say that you know who I'm talking about, and you know who I'm not talking about.
Yes, ma'am.
The second part of that, as far as brothers and sisters marrying so-called lost found, you know,
mm-hmm.
I know, especially in the African-American culture, most African-American people grew up under the auspices of Christianity, and we have long been taught that if we find a good Christian, we find a good Muslim. We find a good Muslim, we find a good Christian. We have the personal example of Minister Farrakhan of how he's reached across the aisle, so to speak, and have embraced Christian ministers and other people and other, you know, beliefs or whatever. So we can't be stuck, stagnate in position. At some point, we have to respect the love. You know, we
right.
also have a personal example of Master Farah Muhammad, his mother and father, his father being black, his mother being white. And so love supersedes all things, and I will always believe that, and I just challenge those to prove me wrong. I'm not going to argue the point. However, I think that as we grow into these teachings, we have to understand that when a man decides to find a wife, he has to find someone that is for him and she has to find someone that is for her. And you can't marry someone because of who they are and what they are inside a particular organization or in a particular religion, even though we are taught to marry a believing person, who's to say that that Christian sister or Christian brother does not believe? At some degree, if you are a Muslim and you are demonstrating your Islam and that person has fallen in love with you, they love you enough to share their lives with you, then there's some degree of faith there. And so all we have to have is a faith of a mustard seed to please Allah. So I just think we kind of need to back up from that and really take another look, and we need to try to grow our nation, but we cannot grow our nation by turning our back on our people because of what they choose to believe in. But what we can do is demonstrate our Islam, stand on our square, offer them that clean glass of water, and let them choose, but the law does not even compel us to believe. So, you know, I just think we need to kind of rethink some things when we talk about lost sound and when we begin to feel threatened. You know, I think that if we embrace sisters that come into the mosque with love, we'll have a mightier nation than what we have now. So I don't know, Sister Native Angel, you want to speak to that? Ma'am?
Don't know where
okay.
she is.
Huh? Caesar?
Sister Native Indian, Sister Native, check your phone and take it off. They're talking about
hey,
Indians.
Hey,
got me messed up.
Hey, Caesar, you hear me, Kazoo?
Yes, sir, I hear you.
Oh, hey, you turn my mic on. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Walaikum salam, Brother Joaquin. Did you wanna answer Sister Michelle's question?
Not really, but I will say something about the Lost Found Sisters. You know, I always got something to say. I don't think that no MGT should get upset with a brother if he marry a Lost Found Sister. That's my personal opinion. And the reason I would tell you that is because there are some Lost Founds that are very conscious, and they will be considered Lost Found due to the fact that they are not officially registered in the Nation of Islam, but there are some that stand strong in their black consciousness. So if a brother marries a sister like that, or if a sister marries a brother that's strong and, you know, conscious,
hello?
I don't have no problem with that.
Yes, sir.
Sister Gitch, can I say something?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because, see, I have often said, and I put it out there on Facebook, about maybe a lost found brother, being interested in a lost found brother. And every time I do that, I always get some slack. You know what I'm saying? Me, personally, I think people can marry whoever the heck they want to marry. That's up to them, if they can make it work. You know what I'm saying? Just because you both believe in the same God and in the same religion, however you want to say it, doesn't mean that your marriage is going to be successful. But, you know...
Sure.
Let me
say this to you, Sister Michelle, and I'm going to tell you, I'm basing this on experience.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to say it like this. I'd rather marry a so-called lost found brother who's going to love me, who's going to respect me, who's going to provide for me, who's going to be the husband that I need him to be in my life, than to marry an FOI and he's a fool. Or
yes,
that he's somebody I can't get along with. And it's
not,
say anything bad, but I'm saying that sometimes there's not that connectability. You know, sometimes you're not evenly yoked. Sometimes you're not compatible. And
right.
That's a waste of time. So you have to marry someone who makes you happy, not just
marrying someone
because they're in the ranks, because that's foolish, because you are headed for disaster.
Can I say something, please?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, go ahead, brother.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
Brother
Arcane.
I just want to bring some clarity. Sister Gidget, you don't have to worry about that. You understand what I'm saying? I just had to make that note. But Sister Michelle, you know, I'm hearing something. And I just had to speak to it because by right, the MGT, they have a legitimate right, you know, because here it is, they have made so many sacrifices, and they're trying to live according to a structure that they truly, truly believe in. And, you know, their pain comes from after they make this supreme sacrifice, which is not easy because they can easily go out there because they're the most, to me, the most beautiful women on the earth. But to have a brother then go and choose a sister that is not of the same faith, to them, it's like a slap in the face, and I understand. But I also have to say, however, we must understand that love transcends all color and all other initial barriers. You know, the scripture says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Our problem is that sometimes we don't know that the mansion is only one mansion. And even though there's many different rooms, there's still only one house and one Father of the house. So let us embrace each other and love one another. You know, and I understand the sister's pain, but somehow we have to understand that the lost founds are still our responsibility. But brothers, we still have to do better to our sisters. The Quran says, believe in men for believe in women.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Richard.
Yes, ma'am.
Did we answer your question?
Yes, ma'am. I'm just a little concerned here about how I might have, you know, came off, because I have no problems with the Lost Found brothers or the sisters and who might want to marry them. I was just addressing an issue that does come up a lot, you know, online and stuff, that whenever the sister puts it out there, not just me, but I've seen other sisters and how they're attacked. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
MGT for FOI,
ma'am.
FOI for
well,
MGT.
Let me tell you something, sister. People must understand one thing. If you, according to the teachings, we are one family, we are one people. And you got FOI, you know, they get mad with a sister when she married a lost found or a lot of noise. Oh, wow.
Are you here?
Yes, I'm still here, brother. I just hear a lot of interference.
Okay.
Don't know where that's coming from.
You're on the phone and you're not talking, please put your phone on mute to drown out the background noise. Go ahead, Brother Rakim.
I will say this right here. We're one family. We're one family. We always talk that a good Christian is a Muslim and a good Muslim is a Christian. And we need to apply this teaching to our everyday life when it comes to meeting someone, and so we would not judge them. Now, what I will say, me personally, I meet a sister, she a lost found, and she want to eat a damn pork chop or eat a ham sandwich, disrespect me and what I believe in, then we're going to have some damn problems.
Yes, sir.
We want some damn promise. Now, if you can come, if you want to go to your church, I'm the type of loving brother, I will go to your church with you, but damn it, you got to come to my mosque with me. Because I'm sure that you can teach me how to be a better Christian, and I can teach you, or shall I say, you can teach me how to be a better Muslim, and I can teach you how to be a better Christian. Now, we're not going to go to no damn hog cookout. None of that. We're not doing that. You know? You know what I'm saying? If I read your Bible and I understand your Bible and teach you what it is to read your and understand your Bible, you want to learn to read the Quran. I love Mr. Farrakhan. You can stay with Bishop Eddie Long and the boys.
Oh my God!
I don't want that to come out the wrong way, but I had to think about what I just said, but if you want to stay with T.D. Jakes or whatever, listen, I love the brother T.D. Jakes. He's an inspiration to me as well, but at the same time, I know that there's a divine reminder of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farah Muhammad walking amongst us in the person of the one Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And if you disagree with that man, if you disagree with this teaching that was given to us by Allah through his final last prophet, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, then we got a problem. But If you want to be a lost found, you don't want to become a registered member of the Nation of Islam. I can't make you be a Muslim. Damn it, you were already born a Muslim. You know what I'm saying? I can't. I mean, according to teaching, you're already born a Muslim. So, therefore, I'm not going to waste no time trying to change your religion, but damn it, you must change your way of life. You got to change your way of thinking. You don't have to wear a headpiece, but you ain't going to wear no damn short miniskirt either. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just break it down like that.
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Can I say something real quick? I'm not even I'm not even a Muslim, but I agree with the brother because Rock Kemp, he's on top of it, man. He's on the point. He's on point, and I gotta let him know. Hey, cousin, you're on point, man. You got a lot of great stuff. We got the same beliefs, brother. And hey, you know what? I've been learning how to eat right. I've been listening to you guys talk, man. And it sounds like you guys got a lot going on that I didn't know about. And I'm just letting you know that I'm learning while I'm listening.
Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir.
That's my big cousin right there. I mean, he has, I mean, I don't watch this man. Even as we have been doing this show, ever since he's been part of Nation Building, he has grown to be a better Christian. And I'm going to tell you, sister, my cousin, DJ Caesar, he's a single man.
Yes, he is, and we're getting him married in 2012.
If I can go on behalf of the MGTs, I'm just in awe of them, and I have to say this to our brothers. You know, although you know I'm in agreement with most of the panel and what most was said, but there's something that is being given to this woman that we call MGT. And classes that is particularly designed for those of us who are FOI to encourage us or enhance us in our assignment that we have been given, that some women just have been given. And I don't say this for myself. I love and respect the MGT to the uttermost. And I thank Allah for you. And I thank Allah for you being steadfast, and I would encourage you, I'm speaking direct to the MGT, although you may not have a brother now, but I would encourage you to continue to be steadfast, because Allah is sufficient for the true believer.
Yes, he is. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir.
Well said, Brother Richard. Well okay. said.
Yes, sir.
So, Sister Michelle, are you still with us?
Yes, sir. I'm right here. Assalamu alaikum,
Sister
brother.
Michelle. Well, alaikum salam, sister. Let me tell you something. I you know, I listen from a distance. As a matter of fact, I read posts. I keep up with news feeds, and I keep up with people pages. And there are some sisters that are concerned about finding husbands. But like Brother Richard said, these sisters, and I'm talking to you too, Sister Michelle, and any MGT that are listening, and FOI, you got to be patient. Got to be patient, because one thing you don't want to do is jump out and marry a fool who claimed to be a FOI or MGT. You don't want to do that, because I said this many times. You got people in suit and bow tie. You got people in long white dresses in the headpiece, but they still have not elevated to the point that they have graduated from being Negroes.
Yes, sir. I'm just going to say, brother, you know, there's a thin line between love and hate, and there's a thin line between patience and waiting on that mystery guy.
That's right. You gotta have patience. Because my thing is this, you don't want to prejudge. You look at the brother, oh, he looked good in his suit and his bow tie. Oh, he's so handsome. You see the sister, she looks so beautiful in her headpiece and her long white dress. But, you know, this could be a Negro. And when I say Negro, I mean, I'm serious. I'm serious, a heart attack. Some people might not agree with me, but this could be a nigga that you marry. You don't want to marry no nigga. You want a strong black woman, a strong black man. And if you don't have the patience, you're going to end up with a nigga. And in a whole bunch of negativity, and I did say nigga because we must elevate and rise from negativity to become strong black men and black women, so we can have strong, healthy, loving relationships with one another in order to build a family.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So if I say the word nigga,
I think we're down to the last 2 minutes, y'all. And so,
Lord.
Caesar, are there any other questions out there?
Nope. I don't see any.
Okay, well, we're going to get ready to close out. I just want to remind our listening audience of our show schedule. You know, at one time we didn't have to do this, but I think we have to do this now. So all praise is due to Allah. We have our new show coming up on Tuesday. It's by the FOI, for the FOI. It's called The Real FOI. Brother Marcus Peace Muhammad out of Atlanta, Georgia will be there. The love of my life, Brother Richard Three Muhammad, is going to be on there, and we might have a couple of more brothers to join us. But we're going to talk about real talk about why aren't the FOI getting married. And like I say, this is an FOI show. I will be on the first show, but thereafter, this is strictly FOI. So, sisters, if you want to get the inside scoop, listen in. On Wednesday nights, we have the Caesar and Bianca show. Caesar is interviewing new artists. He's playing their music. And, you know, y'all need to tune in because these new artists are the bomb. I mean, I'm talking about Young Palm. I forgot the other people, but I know their name is Trio. Beautiful music, beautiful people. And you know, let's not get fickle about what they look like or the image that they have out there. Listen to the music. It's absolutely wonderful. On Thursday night, you know, we're going to be back with our nation building topic of the week. And on Saturday, we have a new show from Mosque Number 7 called The Keys. And this is an economic development show. So all of you people who are interested in doing business, learning how to start your business, and want to grow your business, whatever you want to do, this is the show that you need to listen to because there's going to be a lot of information given on that show. And so with that, that's all I have. So, Brother Richard, would you like to say something before we go?
Yes, ma'am. I just want to say, you know, as far, again, I just love the MGT, and if it seems like that I'm sticking up for them, plain and truthfully, I make no apologies for it.
Yes, sir.
But, it's the reason why it says Muslim girls training. Training to do what? Training to become the woman that we have been disconnected from. Training to meet and to help her man meet and overcome the obstacles that he is supposed to overcome to fulfill his assignment. Black man, you have to hear her cry because she's crying for you. She's calling you, and she's wondering, where are you? You have to answer the call, and this is why the show, The Real FOI, is being produced to give you a platform to that they may hear your voice, because all the shows so far has been basically you're hearing the woman, black man, where are you? It's time to stand up and take your place amongst the rulers.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You, Brother Richard. Brother Rakim?
Yes, ma'am. I would like to say one thing and one thing only. Well, no, I got a few things I want to say, but we got such a short time. This has been a beautiful platform tonight. I am so proud of every one of my brothers and sisters that have taken place. Sister Gidget, I'm so proud of you. I don't know what to do. Damn, I don't know what to do. Brother Richard, I'm proud of you. DJ Caesar, proud of you. Just a Native Angel.
Yes, sir.
I'm proud of you,
absolutely
too.
Absolutely beautiful guest tonight.
Wonderful job.
Thank you
did a wonderful job. And you can come back at any given time. Sister, if you need to talk to somebody, send me a smoke signal or something. Hey. I'm here. I'm your brother. I'm here. I want to learn more about our Native American culture. So, you know, just send me a smoke signal or whatever. Just hit me on the inbox or whatever. Sister Gidget, you know my number. Brother Richard, you know my number. DJ Caesar, you're my cousin, man. We need to get together and talk more and about what you've learned. And I learned a lot from my big cousin C's, too. Sister Michelle, hit me in my inbox and hit my number. You know me, sister. Everybody out there in Radio Land, tune in to Nation Building every week. We always got something brand new for you, something that will surely entertain and entertain you.
Yes, sir. All right, family, I'm out. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam.